The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Always looking forward to having this guest on our show. Very happy to welcome back Doug Borthwick on a day like today. Managing Director, Head of Foreign Exchange at Chapdelaine and Co. Doug, welcome.
Thank you very much. Nice
Don't
to be here.
You just kind of live for times like this? I mean, you're running a trading desk and you may be getting beaten on all sides, but isn't this what makes markets so interesting? When you see the Ben Bernanke coming out, saying what he had to say yesterday about the door being open to the tapering off at some point, markets reacting, emerging markets getting hit. What do you think of what's going on?
Well, I think that, to be honest, you know, I've talked to a lot of the macro guys that I'm in my circle, and we're all rather surprised by the market move yesterday. I think that there's one side of the market that's really looking for the Fed to kind of taper, to kind of halt what they're doing because they're anxious about the size of the balance sheet, and there's another side of the market that really believes that if the Fed is the only person holding up the economy, if they were to step away, then that would be terrible for the economy. I think there's sort of two sides, and everyone reads into the statements, what they're looking for. And one thing I noticed yesterday was that there really was not much of a mention of tapering, but the market now believes that tapering is on the table for this year. I think that...
I have to stop you. What do you mean there was not much of a mention of tapering? There was a huge discussion about how they would, when they would, what it would mean, what they're watching.
Right. Well, there's a discussion, but there's a discussion at every single meeting about whether they should be adjusting rates or whether they should be doing this or the next thing. But it wasn't necessarily something that says we will taper. They said we will taper if the data gets there. And one of the data pieces they're looking at is the 6.5% in unemployment. And one of the most interesting things with that unemployment rate at 6.5% is the reason that it's down low isn't necessarily because people are getting jobs. It's really because people have been leaving the workforce. And probably the fastest way for us to get to 6.5 is for more people to leave the workforce. If that happens, that doesn't mean the economy is doing well. It just means that the number doesn't make sense.
Well, they have started coming back into the workforce just a little bit. We saw that in the last month's reading, though.
That's true. People are coming in the workforce, but at much, much different salaries than when they left the workforce.
That's true. So, Doug, who felt the pain overnight? The euro at 131.81, it had been above $1.34 yesterday.
Well, it's interesting. When news of tapering sort of hit the tapes about a month ago, you saw the euro trading around 132 and it dipped down to 128. This time, the euro was trading around 134, and it's dipped down to 131.80. Now, if this was equities, you'd say, you know what, we're getting higher highs, and we're getting higher lows. And that's actually positive, and that means that the euro could continue on moving higher. Now, my view is always with the euro such that, my view certainly with everybody has always been that the euro will go higher, it's not going to collapse, you're not going to see parity, and you're not going to go to Brexit. And I think that's certainly playing through, and you're seeing a lot of positions that were short the euro along emerging markets now getting liquidated across the board. Because it used to be, back a year ago, people said, you know what, this euro is a funding currency. We're going to be short the euro and we're going to be long emerging markets and pick up the yield carry. And nowadays, that trade has been blown out the water because of the weakness you're seeing in emerging markets. Last night was a phenomenal time in Asia when you saw central banks in Malaysia, Korea, Thailand, and India all coming out and selling dollars aggressively. And that they're worried about the weakness of their currency, and they want to sort of temper it somewhat. And in New York today, we're seeing the Bank of Brazil coming in and doing even more liquidity swaps, trying to stop the dollar Brazil going too much higher as well.
How does it play out, Doug? Like you say, we're seeing so many currencies at record lows or close to them, and central banks sweating around the world.
Well, I wouldn't say they're sweating. Remember, when their currencies were getting too strong, they were coming in and they were buying dollars aggressively. So all these emerging market central banks really have very strong, are long a lot of dollars in their foreign exchange reserves. And now when you see the currency devalue by 5, 10%, they then come in and they sell those dollars. For them, this is actually taking profit somewhat.
So, all right, but on the
but
most...
But they're trying to support their currencies.
Yeah, sure. And the most... the idea is, presumably, that whether the Fed leaves now or whenever it tapers, that it's going to happen and there's going to be less liquidity at some point, and this is going to have an impact on emerging markets.
Right. Yeah, that's certainly true. One of the most interesting things, I think, is why did we start QE? And when you think about when we started QE, that's when Bernanke wrote his Washington Post op-ed in 2010. And he said, look, we're going to step in here and we'll help the markets. But he wrote it in the Washington Post and he directed it at Congress. And he said, but you need to do your thing. And what's interesting is now the Fed's talking about tapering. Congress still hasn't done anything. There hasn't been a cutback in spending. There's been no change really to how Congress approaches spending and the size of the deficit in the U.S. And so I think that, you know, essentially it was maybe a Mary Poppins economy where you get a spoonful of sugar to help the medicine go down. And the problem is we haven't had the medicine yet, and we're about to take the sugar away. And that's kind of what causes me, Ajita. I see the Fed action in QE not necessarily as helping the economy, but what it's done is it's stopped the economy from cratering. And it's a crutch, and it's been there for a long time. And you pull that crutch away before the economy really has, you know, gotten better, then that could be a real problem for the U.S.
So if the carry trade is unwinding now, what's the next trade?
Well, the next trade is to get back into the carry trade. The problem is, when do you do that? You know, so right now, if getting into carry trades, it's sort of like catching a falling knife, and that you can really hurt yourself. But at the same time, you know, people won't get back into this carry trade until they know whether the Fed is going to stop tapering or start tapering, or whether they're going to, you know, sort of keep in this sort of talking about it but doing nothing.
So
if we're talking about it but doing nothing, then after a while the market stops listening to the Fed and starts putting the carry trade back on.
So we see dollar strength until then, and then we see about
it. See dollar strength against emerging markets until then, yes. But at some point, you know, as people turn around, they see that the central banks are coming in, they're selling dollars. You know, as we're talking on the phone right now, you have agent banks coming in dollar Korea selling in the 1 month, agent banks for the Bank of Korea. And so, you know, when you see that the central banks are trying to slow the depreciation of their currency, generally that's a good time for you to get back into the trade and start selling along with the central banks, because, you know, then you have the central bank behind you making sure that it doesn't weaken too much, too far, too fast.
Well, I want to come back to this point, Doug, about whether or not this economy, this patient is ready to get off the morphine, or, as you say, the stop taking the sugar, or, you know, get off the crutches. We've had some positive indicators on the economy this week, including this morning from existing home sales up more than 4%, much stronger than forecast. We had the Philly Fed Index moving into positive territory. It's definitely a mixed bag. But at this point, it isn't an economy that seems to be getting worse. And the point with the Fed is, isn't it, that at some point, bond buying is an emergency program. And most importantly, that when you have a balance sheet, a stock of bonds, more than $2 trillion, you could even stop buying bonds and still have a very accommodative policy. Ben Bernanke went to great pains to explain that yesterday.
I know, I can't argue with you on this one. Today's data, I think, were fantastic. The Philly Fed, superb. But the Philly Fed is sort of like durable goods, in that you'll get a big number, and it's followed the next month by a much smaller number. And so it's very, very, you know, whippy as a number to really, you know, rest your hat on. Existing home sales, I think, was exciting. You know, 5.18 million, that's not bad at all. But what you're seeing is you're seeing home sale numbers rising, but you're not really seeing the furniture stores doing well. And until the furniture stores start selling a lot more furniture, then I really have a tough time sort of getting behind the everyone's buying a house again. And you know, if I can talk to all of, you know, my friends that are in the housing market that are looking to buy houses, and no one really wants to step in just yet. So we're seeing some in some areas of the country, you're seeing prices going higher, but in other areas like the Northeast, I'm not really seeing prices running away just yet. And the anxiety about rates, you know, moving higher in the mortgage market, I think for the average individual, they're more worried right now about, you know, raising that 20% to buy their house as opposed to, you know, back in 2005 when you just needed your 5 or 10%. And so until, you know, the banks really start opening up their lending again, reducing the down payment and the mortgage that you need to actually, you know, raise to be able to go out there and buy something, until then, I think you're going to have housing continue to be under some sort of pressure and maybe not rally quite as much as we're seeing elsewhere.
Can I ask you, pivoting the conversation a little bit to China, if you don't mind, Doug, we saw the PBOC adding cash overnight to the financial system. At least according to a strategist, the PBOC isn't itself commenting, but it would have been $8.2 billion. Cash squeeze in China. How does this play out? Last week, Derek Halpany of Bank of Tokyo Mitsubishi said he was very concerned about China, about any move for the renminbi.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, I'm concerned as well now. I think the last couple of days you've seen some you know, interesting developments where you've seen interest rates, you know, rise considerably in the short end, but also you've seen CDS start to move out. And both of these things are making me think, you know, what's going on in China, maybe we start looking at it a little bit more. Now, the PBOC has been very vocal to a lot of the banks there, saying that they need to clean up their act, and they need to get their act together, they need to, you know, cut down on the loans they're putting out there. And so they're sort of squeezing credit in the country at the same time as, you know, the rest of the world seems to be sort of, you know, still sick and not really getting off of it. So if China was the growth engine we all relied upon, and China no longer is that growth engine, and the easy money is now disappearing from China, then you have to start thinking about, well, what does that mean for the rest of the world? And certainly it means, well, it's not very good for the rest of Asia and dollar Asia, which, you know, could be one of the reasons why you see dollar Asia rallying so much.
Well, you know, another aspect of this, Doug, that has, I think, not gotten sufficient attention yet, but will, that's Jim Bullard, president of the St. Louis Fed, his dissent saying, hey, look, you know, inflation is actually falling. He's raising the point that the Fed set up a structure right now where they have two sides of the coin. One is the unemployment rate, but the other is inflation. And the implication of a falling inflation rate is not that you taper off. In theory, you would actually provide more stimulus. But at the very least, his argument, and I think Jim has become a stronger and stronger voice at the Fed because he's been out front on a lot of the developments, is that, come on, you guys, what about that? You know, I mean, and I think that's a question a lot of people have to raise. How do you taper off with inflation getting weaker, even if you think it's temporary?
I agree with you once more. I think that Bullard is phenomenal as a communicator. It's too bad that he isn't actually the chairman, because communication would be so much better if he was. I think that, you know, he's got a very good point. If there's a lack of inflation, then why not keep on buying? But at the same time, there's the anxiety in the market that as long as the Fed keeps on buying, well, as you said, you know, the balance sheet's already rather large, and it's just going to get bigger and bigger. At some point, it has to taper off. It has to end. The question is, should it be now or should it be later? My view is it should be later, but later only after the Congress has sort of cut back on the spending that it was supposed to have done 2 years ago. And you know, right now, if you're pulling that back and then Congress cuts spending as well, I just don't see how that's really good for an economy that, in my mind, is still sort of limping along.
Well, Doug Borthwick, you've really laid out the case very thoroughly for the economy limping, the Fed going very slowly, and this what it means for the dollar. Doug, of course, is managing director, head of foreign exchange at Chapter Lanes.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.